5 time it is. We can let down our hair. The moon is high and we are lunatics now. It's deep and it's safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to hear some potentially outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I am your creepy guide across the river Styx.
Abandon all hope.
Daddy going to give you something to drink, though. In the studio with producer Hardwood Forrest Connor and investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. How did the shop fare in your absence, Shelley Wright?
They did very well. They did. They missed me, but I missed them, and it went well, though. We were good.
So you're not that essential after all, huh?
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
So you never know. They might be like, it's so much more peaceful around here without Shelley.
Probably.
Maybe we should give her the pink slip. You think your parents would ever give you the pink slip?
I don't think so.
How are gold and silver doing right now?
Well, the market is down right now, which of course means it's a great buying opportunity, and people are buying us out of house and home. We are just very, very low on inventory because the U.S. Mint has, they ran out of blanks to make the silver eagles, so everybody's out of them right now.
Really?
Yes.
How do they run out of blanks?
Because they're stupid. I mean, don't you think you'd notice when you're running out of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
But no, yeah.
Could be a scary sign.
Mm. And everybody wants them. So, anyway, but that happened like the third week in January. And they just came out January 1st. So, you know, it's happened. It happens throughout the year. They'll be back.
So now is the time to purchase things.
Yes.
While you still can.
Yes.
Before you wake up and the whole world is going to hell because they say, oh, the dollar is only worth 10 cents now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you've got people trying to short gold saying, oh, you know, we think this run is over and you should just sell it. Well, you know, it's the great big houses that are saying, oh, you should do this. And, of course, that's probably why they want to, mm-hmm, you know, buy it up when it goes down really low. But, and then there was a scandal with these companies that want to sell you their gold, but they want to store it for you. And now people are calling for delivery and they don't have the gold.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's not good.
So would these maybe be like the 800 numbers that you can call to get gold and silver, as opposed to calling somebody like Shelley Wright?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes. And we always encourage you, take delivery of your physical gold.
Yeah. Gosh.
Yes.
I got a bridge I'll sell you, too.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I'll keep it stored for you in my warehouse of bridges. So if people have no idea how to go about purchasing gold and silver and it seems intimidating to them, they can call you up and you will talk to them individually one-on-one.
Yes, and I will make it so easy. So easy. And my phone number is 828-298-5402.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now again, write this down, everybody. You can call Shelley Wright and talk to her, 828-298-5402. And how can people find you if they are in the Asheville, North Carolina area?
They can go to 1271 Sweeten Creek Road in Asheville.
And you're just a few miles away from the Biltmore Estate, so you're in that general vicinity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exit 51.
Exit 51.
Off of I-40.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you can go to WrightsCoinShop.com.
Yes.
WRIGHTS, WrightsCoinShop.com. And people can email you. They'll see a map of how to get to your place. They'll have a better understanding of what you offer. They can see some pictures.
Mm-hmm.
WrightsCoinShop.com. And once again, the phone number for Shelley Wright is 828-298-5402. Shelley, when you were in Puerto Rico, did you ever eat any of the flap steak?
No, I did not.
We were sitting around one night, and one of the ladies with our group, she said, she's a steak lover, and she said, you know, I went to a restaurant, and I ordered a something. I'm not sure what it was. A flap steak? She says, what is flap steak? And my mind ran wild with what could flap steak possibly be. And I said some, I released some of my theories, my speculation there to the group on what flap steak could possibly be, which is even beyond Dark 30 material. But Forrest Connor, being the consummate producer here, you have looked up the definition of a flap steak.
Yes, sir.
What did you find, Forrest?
Flap steak. Flap steak, or flap meat, is a beef steak cut. It comes from a bottom sirloin butt cut of beef and is generally a very thin steak.
A butt cut.
Cow butt.
Now, you know, I don't know if this movie actually exists or if just some of my crazy friends have talked about making a movie called Butt Cutter. Does that ring a bell for you, Forrest? It's a horror movie based on actual news reports of there are people who are serial butt cutters, and they just run around, and, you know, they might pop up anywhere, Walmart, Burger King, whatever, and they run by and slash your butt. Butt cutters. And so, but a butt cut is a flap steak. But there are other flaps that could be used. And so hopefully you're eating the butt.
Actually, Josh, get on the butt cutter. Our friend Unknown Henson from the Squidbillies. There's an episode of Squidbillies called Beware of the Butt Cutter.
No way!
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's one for the Roku. The Squidbillies butt cuts.
Beware of the butt cutter.
Beware of the butt. Yeah, the infamous butt cutter. He's on the loose. You got to wear your bikini, didn't you, Shelley?
Yes, I did.
But you, like, covered it up.
Some of it.
Why is that?
Because.
Mm-hmm. Because what?
Because while I was at work, I was not very careful, and I ran into the top of the safe, and I had a big old bruise on my tummy. And I didn't want to show that.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Maybe you have something else weird going on here.
But my legs were showing.
I bet Shelly's got like a little twin head's kind of like half grown on her belly or something like that. Isn't that right?
No.
See it.
The dark half. Remember that? Another Stephen King reference. The dark half. Do you have some kind of weird little, like a tentacle or something down here?
No.
Hmm. Well, here's a bikini story. From Seattle, Washington. They say here an alleged shoplifter was arrested wearing a cherry tomato bikini. You know, cherry tomatoes are the little ones. And it was a man, actually. they're saying here a chronic shoplifter in a wheelchair was arrested with only a pile of cherry tomatoes covering his crotch. It's almost a biblical vision. Straight out of Genesis. Instead of the fig leaf, he had I don't know what the word is for a batch of a plum of, I don't know, cherry tomatoes. Says the officers arrived shortly after 6:20 in the morning, early opening store. They found the suspect in the produce aisle, where he was sitting in his wheelchair eating from a container of cherry tomatoes strewn about the floor. His pants were off, and the only thing covering the man's crotch was a pile of spilled tomatoes. I'm not sure I'd call that exactly a bikini. I just call that a pile of tomatoes. They say that he was arrested, and when they searched him, the only thing they found on him was most of a still-frozen Jimmy Dean sausage sandwich. I swear we don't make these stories up, my friends.
And two cherry tomatoes.
Yes.
So, but as they were arresting him, he said, well, you know, this doesn't matter because I'm not allowed in this store anyway. I've stolen from here so many times. That's from Seattle. That's, I think that, isn't that around where Connie lives? Maybe we can have her on as our special correspondent, our cherry tomato correspondent. From Newark, Delaware. Headline, serial flasher caught by police after 2 years. It reminds me of, you know, one of these old movies from the John Dillinger days when you'd walk into the detective's room and they have a wall with all the, like a bulletin board that they've posted up with all the pictures of the gangsters they're looking for. Somewhere out there for 2 years, they've been after this serial flasher, the elusive naked man. According to a statement released by the police there, the 39-year-old man was arrested after authorities responded to a report of a nude man walking down the street and slapping his buttocks. Police, those gumshoes linked this to at least 16 similar incidents since 2011. He was apprehended wearing a shirt but no pants. Here we go again. What is the trend?
I don't know.
Shirt but no pants. I think we've established, Forrest, that generally speaking, when we go home at night, the shirt comes off first and then the pants.
Right.
What is up with men taking their pants off and leaving the shirt off? If, you know, just get naked. If you're gonna, why just take the pants off? Well, anyway, yeah, it says he was ducking in and out of homes. They finally found him emerging from a patch of trees, attempting to climb a fence. Officers caught up and took him into custody. They say that you know, women were walking at night when they would see this man hiding in the nearby woods, always slapping his buttocks or, quote, touching himself in a lewd manner, end quote. Isn't that the only manner in which you touch yourself under these circumstances? Is the, you know, I don't know if the adjective is necessary. He was touching himself in a lewd manner. It's not like he was touching himself in a nice way, right? Okay, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, well, here's, all right, a Walmart story. We love stories that regard that kind of Americana. We have a Walmart story. We have a McDonald's story. I think there may even be a Home Depot story buried in here somewhere. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. It's the Dark 30 Hour.
Thinking how things used to be. Dark night. It's a dark night. Dark night. It's a dark night. The neighborhood was changing. Stranger. such a darkness.
Yes, up here in the Scottish Highlands, we enjoy a good flapsteak from time to time. It's a nice ring cut from the buttocks. A butt cut. How did Sean Connery become involved in all this? It's an unsolved mystery. But welcome back to the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Not for the kiddies this hour. You know, not all of the stuff is bad, but most of it is. So, you know, tune out if you're easily offended or if there are children around. That's why we save this material for late at night here on Speaking of Strange. Don't forget to go to speakingofstrange.com. Check out some of the cool stuff we have linked up. Go to joshuapwarren.com. Look at the ghost photo. Look at the Sunshine Simple generator. It's a solar generator for the home. Look at the magical wishing machine radionics box. There's just so much to explore. You can sit there for hours and hours and hours. We love stories with, you know, Walmart, Home Depot, McDonald's, good Americana. Here's one from Shippensburg, Pennsylvania. Where the heck is that? Okay, it says here, a naked woman who caused several hundred dollars worth of damage at a Walmart there is facing charges. 28 years old. She just went on a rampage through the store naked, yelling at employees and just knocking stuff over, screaming. Eventually, somebody tackled her. I would not be that guy. If I were in the Walmart and a woman was just running through naked, screaming, knocking stuff over, I would just sit back and watch that. Who is the person who's like, I'm the Good Samaritan here. I'm taking her down. $346 of damage. She's charged with indecent exposure, open lewdness, criminal mischief, and disorderly conduct. Is this part of the zombie thing? Who knows? See, that's at least she was fully naked. I can respect that. Pantsless, not so much anymore. Full nudity, that's a higher class presentation. Don't you think that's a little more classy, Shelley?
Because half nudity is just kind of lazy.
It almost seems dirtier in a way to just have your pants off. It's like I'm focusing solely on what's down here. Walmart people, huh? Everybody goes to Walmart. Everybody. Even if you don't like Walmart, you end up there eventually.
Sometimes it's a necessary evil.
Here is a story from New Mexico. This is the McDonald's story. It says, this Happy Meal didn't end with a treat. That's how the story starts. This Happy Meal. People always have to go for the Happy Meal. A New Mexico man was arrested for trading sex for a Happy Meal. Sex with a woman there. Albuquerque police. Isn't that where Bugs Bunny was always trying to get to?
Man, left turn at Albuquerque.
He always screwed up at Albuquerque for some reason. Albuquerque police found a 58-year-old man at Bullhead Park with a woman he picked up there. According to the complaint, he picked up the woman in an area known for prostitution. Police watched him order food at the McDonald's drive-thru and head to a nearby park. On their way to the park, the man told police he purchased the woman a Happy Meal, seriously, and asked how she would reimburse him. Police confronted the pair at the park and saw the woman pulling up her pants in the car. See, who needs welfare? It's easy enough to get a Happy Meal in this country. God bless America. Let's see. According to the complaint, the woman told police that she agreed to do this for McDonald's. And police also found prescription narcotics in the car. Seems like a lot of these stories end with a little addendum. Like, by the way, everybody was drunk and on drugs. You know, you read the whole story in the last. By the way, they were all screwed up on something. So she was, I guess everybody in this situation was charged with something. We don't accept that in this country. It's not acceptable. You're supposed to take them to a fancy place and bomb dinner and then get a hotel room. That's how we do it in this country. You don't do it at McDonald's and then your car. Let's see. Let's go to some, speaking of drugs, some marijuana stories. Mm-hmm. University of California. Well, that's not surprising. A 2-pound joint was confiscated? Jeez, that's a lot of weed. Not that I would know exactly how much that would be.
No, Cheech and Chong were singing in the scene.
Police at the University of California, Santa Cruz interrupted a 420 party. Oh, that makes sense. Do you know the whole 420 thing, Shelley? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Tell me, what does that mean?
You can tell it better.
No, you don't know, do you? You don't tell me. What does 420 have to do with it? You don't know.
I do.
Shelly doesn't know. She's too innocent and naive.
This is not like us explaining things to in the room.
Huh?
To Connie. Never mind.
What?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
It's like the police code for marijuana possession, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, actually, the history of it comes from one of the histories of it comes from like these couple kids were potheads in high school, and they would say, okay, meet me over here at this point at 420. And they'd say, where are we going to meet at 420 today? We're going to meet here at 420 today. We're going to meet here at 420 tomorrow. And that became sort of like the slang there.
That's a crummy urban legend.
Well,
I think it dates back to like a police code for like a 420 in some code somewhere. I don't know this for a fact. That's just what I always heard every time I was around people who did that.
Right.
That was the legend. But yeah, but they have a big 420 parade there. They celebrate annually. All right. Well, you know, it's not that big of a deal, I guess, in California anymore. But in Austin, Texas, there is a new crime there. They will arrest you for drinking and walking. Seriously, man. Now, granted, this is from InfoWars, but hey, you know, that's Alex Jones' thing. He's in Texas. The police department, have you ever been to Austin, Forrest?
No.
It's if I were going to move to Texas, I'd probably move to Austin.
Here it's a nice town. Austin or San Antonio?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Austin's a lot like Asheville, you know, kind of that hippie live music culture going on there. But now, yeah, we know about drinking and driving. Now drinking and walking is supposedly a crime in Austin, Texas. Well, that sounds like a shame. This is kind of an interesting one. This is from Lafayette, Louisiana, and this is actually kind of a two-parter because the story is that a state trooper saw a naked man struggling with a deputy, and so the state trooper fired his handgun, just fired it into the air, I guess, and that didn't do anything. So he next pulls out his taser and stuns the guy. And you know, as this whole thing goes on, it gets all crazy and chaotic, and you know, everybody thinks it's all funny that you know, a naked man has gotten stunned. But I read this, and I thought, you know what's interesting? There's this other story I saw from the UK. A 32-year-old man was hit with a taser and burst into flames, into a ball of flame in Bristol there. And they say that he was holding a can of inflammable liquid. So that means it's not supposed to be flammable. But this guy erupted into a fireball. There were screams. And they saw a man fully on fire from top to bottom with his arms waving around. What the heck causes that? Could this have been spontaneous combustion? I don't know. We're going to take a break. When we come back... Oh, how's this for a headline? Home Depot hookers. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the Dark 30 Hour on Speaking of Strange. Get me some flap steak now, Forrest. How about you? Are you hungry? Is your stomach growling?
Oh, yeah.
Flap steak. We start with the butt, and then we usually flap we can find. The lower level cuts into flap steak.
That's the finest cut.
Oh, my goodness. It's the Dark 30 Hour, my friends. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. Mind you, this hour of the program, the Dark 30 Hour, is when we talk about some of the news stories that are more controversial and outrageous, not necessarily for the kiddies, not necessarily for the easily offended. So you might want to tune out if you are somehow connected to those scenarios. Moultrie, Georgia. That's just, I don't know exactly where Moultrie is. Do you, Forrest?
Moultrie's on, sort of almost on the Florida line, sort of.
Oh, is it? Okay. So that's on the opposite side of Georgia from us.
Right.
Moultrie, Georgia, Home Depot hookers. Georgia police say two women who were arrested were selling sex on business cards. They were apparently going around the Home Depot parking lot there and handing out business cards and placing them on various cars for foxy ladies' private escort. So an undercover officer took one of the cards and paid them a visit. Well, we know how this goes, don't we? Remember the story I read a while back where the undercover cop... He goes to the hotel room to do his investigation, and she gets naked, and he gets naked. And then she begins to perform on him. He wants to make sure he has all the evidence necessary. And then finally, after probably he has been fully satisfied. He says, ah, yes, we've got you now. Wait till the judge hears about what you just did. There's no doubt. I can prove it. Undercover cop took one of the cards, paid him a visit. Women are now charged with prostitution. Supposedly, you know, they're saying, well, the women say they just weren't thinking. What's that, Shelley Wright?
I was going to say, you think.
You think
no,
you weren't thinking?
They weren't.
Yeah, it says they he called him up and says he said he was interested, so they told him to come. The woman on the phone told the undercover officer to meet her at the Kokomo Inn. That sounds like a nice place. Go down to Kokomo. So they told him it would cost $100 for 30 minutes. So, you know, that's kind of what we're figuring out now. It's like a couple $100 an hour for a, you know, half a respectable hooker right now. That's the going rate. Do you think that fluctuates with the price of gold at all, Shelley?
I doubt it has anything to do with it.
We need to do a study on this.
You go right ahead.
Forrest, would you like to be our undercover investigator on this one?
Let's do it.
Let's see if there's a relationship there. Laurelville, Ohio, police chief hospitalized after eating pot-laced cake. The chief there had an early morning craving for a cake. He decided to eat a piece left on the counter at his home. What? What he didn't know is that it had been laced with a half cup of cannabis oil. Now, that contains THC, the ingredient in marijuana that causes you to get high. And says the chief of police had just visited a daughter in the hospital and was hungry. And after he finished off the cake, started feeling odd. Says he said, I thought I was going to die. He didn't know what was happening, if he'd been poisoned or whatever. But he drove himself to the police station where he was met by medics. And they say it turns out the cake had been brought to his home by his daughter's boyfriend. And the boy is an alleged drug user and dealer in the area. There was nothing suspicious about the cake. Fail, right?
Yeah.
Fail. When you're dating the police chief's daughter and you drop the pot cake off at the house, not a good idea. And however, in Amsterdam in the Netherlands, now they say a chain of Dutch chip shops is serving cannabis mayonnaise. You can dip your fries in the sauce. They claim it will not make you high, supposedly. That they say that they leave out some of the THC, but they just want the taste of marijuana and the mayo.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, who just wants the taste of marijuana?
Yeah.
Forrest, you're not a mayo eater anyway, are you?
Yeah.
You like mayo.
I
can't keep up with the condiments.
Has to be Duke's mayonnaise.
Yes, Duke's.
I mean, anything else is crap.
Really?
Yes.
But you still want to eat ketchup or mustard?
Heck no.
Mm-hmm. And so you guys are Duke's mayo fans?
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing else but Duke's.
Duke's all the way.
I mean, Hellman's or Miracle. What the heck is Miracle Whip salad dressing?
I've never quite figured out the difference between mayo and Miracle Whip. I know that it's a little sweeter to the taste, the Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip is not mayonnaise.
No.
Yeah, it's just, well, so what is it?
It's salad dressing, but you never see someone in the restaurant say, I'll have a Miracle Whip salad dressing, please.
So it's really salad dressing?
That's what it says on the side of the can.
Really? It says Miracle Whip salad dressing. Interesting. Well,
I wouldn't put that crap on any salad.
You're not a fan.
No.
Okay. Here's a story. Oh my goodness. Where is it? Yeah. Hard to believe it took us this long. What's happening? It's April. Here's a story from Panama City, Florida. Usually our Florida stories are so prevalent, we're just ringing the heck out of the Florida bell. But tonight, I think that might be our only occasion. See, April's a weird month. Panama City. Here's the headline. Meet the man who wants to become a disposable Kotex maxi pad. Exactly. What does that mean? What a man wants to be a disposable Kotex maxi pad. Says here, it's never easy to realize your dream, especially when that dream is to become the first human disposable sanitary napkin. At the beginning of this year, this particular man, who I will not use his name here, he made four resolutions. One, to get my first name legally changed to Pad. Number two, to start preparing for life as a feminine pad. Number three, to set a world record for having the largest pad collection. And four, to become a pink disposable feminine pad. Now, this guy has been reaching out across a myriad of social networks looking for friends to support him. He wants to serve 8 hours as an overnight pad. I don't even know what I'm reading at this point, okay? Says here, he collects these pads, spends hours meticulously photographing them from every possible angle. He owns 1,407 pads and 57 packs of pads. And he says that now it's time for him to become one.
I really hope that there are pills that can help this man.
You think that's all it would take is a pill at this point?
I hope so.
It says he knows more about the history and dynamics of feminine pads than many women do.
And yet no one cares.
But how do you become a pad, Shelley? Can you give us some insight on this?
I have no idea.
Really?
Gladly. I would tell you if I knew, but no, I have no idea.
Forrest, can you help us out here?
I'm speechless.
Says, you know, his favorite color is pink. And says that he wants to spend the rest of his existence as a human disposable pad, contemplating the joy he feels when he fulfills his ultimate purpose. And he also has a deviant art gallery.
Big shocker.
At least he acknowledges that he is deviant. Well, we have a break coming up. When we come back, I have two stories here I've saved for the last two stories of the Dark 30 Hour. One is from Japan, oh goodness. And the other one is, it's not even locked down to a particular regional location. It's a trend that appears to be sweeping, well, we'll say the United States of America. And we are against it. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the Dark 30 Hour on Speaking of Strange.
To offer regular assault. am a fever. I ain't born typical. I am a fever. I am a fever. I ain't born typical. We are a fever. We are a fever. We ain't born typical. We are a fever. We are a fever. We ain't born typical.
We are in the final minutes of tonight's Speaking of Strange, the Dark 30 Hour. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And if you have not heard, let me go ahead and tell you again now. This is going to be the last new Speaking of Strange for a little while. I'm going to be heading off shortly into the Bermuda Triangle once again, where we have the Bermuda Triangle base, and I am working on a television project. Last year, I worked on a show called Paranormal Paparazzi, and I was gone for months, so it's really not all that different, except, yeah, with television, you never know exactly how it's going to go, how long you're going to be gone. This time, the cool news is that once I get down there to my my base camp, I'm going to try to set up a connection so that I can host the show from the Bermuda Triangle. So instead of it being from Asheville, land of the sky, it'll be from deep in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle. I'm not sure how long it's going to take us to get everything set up down there. So Forrest is going to be putting some best ofs in here for a while, and if we have any delays in getting the ISDN connection so that I can host a full show, we may have like some half shows, or maybe a third shows where I'll come in and I'll do like the first hour, and then the rest will be a best of. So, you know, it's kind of up in the air, but the best thing you can do right now, if you want to stay informed, is go to joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P. Go to joshuapwarren.com, scroll down to the bottom, and you'll find a place where you can put your email address into the free e-newsletter bank. It's spam-free, and I will send you directly newsletters from time to time and tell you how things are going. Also, you can follow me on Twitter, at joshuapwarren.com. Again, no period after the P, at joshuapwarren.com. And you can also follow Forrest here, at soshardwood. At SOS Hardwood. So those are ways that you can stay personally updated and informed as you know, we bring you exciting new news and figure out this new way of expanding the show. All righty, here is a story from Japan. We've seen beer brewed from everything from facial hair to bull testicles. Oh, did I mention this is not for the easily offended? Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended, okay? Tune out if you connect to one of those. Now they say you can have a new beer. It's elephant dung beer. That's right. They take half-digested coffee beans from elephant dung and brew them into a beer that has a, quote, smooth, earthy flavor. I bet it does. They say this stuff sold out on the first day of its sale. And those who drink it say it tastes quite good. One quote says, quote, it was a combination of bitter and sweet. It stayed fresh and lingered in my head. It was a familiar aroma that accompanied me throughout the entire beer, end quote. They say that this is made by a group of people who also created a $50 cup of elephant dung coffee. So, you know, this is true. It's the real deal.
It was a familiar aroma that lingered.
Yeah. Why? There are so many good things to drink and eat. Why go for the elephant dung beer? On the other hand, maybe a couple of towers of elephant dung beer.
Probably tastes like
elephant bong beer. And this last story, I read this, it's from the Huffington Post, and I thought, really? Really? This is what the kids are doing nowadays? Kids do the darndest things. This is called the Condom Challenge. And this is spreading, apparently, like wildfire around YouTube now. It is a trend in which kids are snorting condoms up their nose and pulling them out of their mouths. Yeah, it's as gross as it sounds. And they say that it started with just, you know, one or two little postings, and now it's gotten huge. Girls and guys are snorting condoms up their noses and pulling them out to be cool. That is where the generations are heading, my friends, and that's going to do it for this edition of the program. I thank Brian Hall, Forrest Connor, John Anderson, Mobius, and Kuka. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. Till next time, we will be at speakingofstrange.com. Sign up for the free e-newsletter and Twitter, and tune in next week for a best of You Are